the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meals. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh shrubs. Call me privately.
Welcome to episode 107 of the Permaculture Pimpcast. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. A little bit tired. Been doing a lot of running around today, a lot of sweating, but that is all good. I remember my first journeyman ever, he says, son, when you're working with me, you better be doing one of two things, whistling or sweating. If you're whistling, I think you love your job. If you're sweating, I know you're doing your job. Well, I did all today, so I'm glad to be here. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Get all your preparedness needs over there, water filters, storable food, all that stuff. Don't forget, y'all, those seeds over there are the cat's meow. And I never would have thought I'd have said that 100% germination rate for everything we've tried so far. So, yeah, definitely check them out. And don't forget to tip a pimp over there on the Fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there. And if you so desire, you can tip a pimp in some sats. I'm not even going to try to pronounce
that. Stashtoshies. That's just what they are. I mess it up every single time.
All right, y'all, tip of the day. You know, today's the third. Tomorrow's going to be the fourth. Many of you will almost certainly listen to this on the fourth. And I'm going to tell you, your tip of the day ought to be memorize the Bill of Rights. It ain't that hard. They ain't that long. There's only 10 of them. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But right off the bat, let's talk about the farm news. Well, for me, right off the bat, the biggest thing I am trying, we did a little bit of scaling back on some of the things. We don't have pigs right now. That's by design. We got more meat than we could possibly use. We almost had to buy another freezer.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, so and we probably ought to do that anyway for a whole variety of reasons, because if one of them ever goes down, we're in a bind.
Yeah, we don't have any extra space, that's for sure. We don't have any empty space.
I mean, what do we got, six of them out there? And they're all filled to the brim. So that's a good problem to have, but we don't have that extra overflow. But right now, my number one concern, and pretty much everybody around here, our number one concern really is soil management, making the world's best compost, which we seem to be doing quite well right now.
Yeah.
And looking at it under the microscope, man, this stuff is kicking. And we're only adding more and more and more and more fungus into it. If you want to know how we're doing it, y'all, go check us out on Patreon, which, by the way, it's amazing to me how many people will contribute a dollar to get in on Patreon, and then I guess they extract whatever information they want for a dollar, and then discontinue it the very next day.
Well, Dad, you just let the cat out of the bag.
Well, I'm thinking,
you
know,
told everybody the loophole.
Well, no, I mean, if that's your integrity, if you got like T-Rex arms and can't get in your pocket for a dollar,
right,
then you know what? I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and break chops about it.
They also might not even be paying attention to that. They might be thinking, oh, I'll get on there for a dollar. They might be thinking that they pay the dollar immediately. I'm not sure. I don't think that many people do it intentionally.
I don't know. There's quite a few of them, but I'm really seriously thinking about going over to Locals once I get it worked out and figured out and make sure it seems to be more of a freedom platform. I'm thinking about making that jump over there.
Yeah, people are saying it's good. People say they like it.
Yeah, they do. But there's also a fair number of people, like one gentleman, he reaches out and he says, man, you know, they're playing games with his, you know, it just seems like every time you turn around there's some kind of problem. But when I talk to other people who don't necessarily run their mouth the way I do, they don't seem to have any problems.
Yeah.
You know, for a while there, I couldn't even respond to the people on videos, and I couldn't do it in messages. So I'm going to seriously think about doing another platform. But going back to the soil thing, we're just about ready. Once we get a few more irons worked out here.
I got a bunch of my classes knocked out today.
Yeah,
For the microscopy section.
Yeah. So we're moving right along. But I started another compost pile the other day, and this time I did it a little bit differently. Instead of spreading it all out, I kind of put it in there. And this thing seems to be running hotter than normal.
This one smells worse, it seems like.
Well, I went a little bit heavy on the nitrogen.
Okay.
So, yeah, this one is more my fault. Put a little more food scraps in there. I'm still playing around with it. I like the process, but the beautiful part of it is, no matter, I mean, as long as this thing ain't catching on fire, I'm definitely working it out. I mean, all these little nuanced things that you can't possibly learn, y'all, unless you put your hands on it. You're going to have a degree of failure sometimes, but the cool thing about it is with the right dog to the hunt, you can almost always correct these things.
It seems like the most important part of that compost part, of like the stacking it and all that stuff, is just to sterilize the pot. Not sterilize it, but to kill the pathogens and the weed seeds and stuff.
That's
like
really
that.
That's really it.
And then after that, as long as you get like one good compost pile, it seems like you can just inoculate everything else with it.
Well,
and given enough time, you know, you can put less work into your compost pile.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Or you can even take that one that's not so wonderful. Once it gets to the point where it's back down to ambient temperature, you can constantly kick it. I mean, kick that thing, because number one problem most people are going to have is they don't have enough a higher fungal content. Well, I showed people on Patreon where I went to go get more fungal content that I could ever hope for. And it's available out there, y'all. I mean, this stuff isn't all that difficult. I'll just kind of cut to the chase here, is that if there are people around you, and almost certainly there are, in probably close proximity, if somebody's growing mushrooms, well, they're going to have the spent stuff that they couldn't use. Well, it's still very viable.
Which, correct me if I'm wrong, it just means that the fungi in the bag ran out of food, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty
so
much.
So you just gave it more food by putting it in the compost pile.
I mean, I don't even know how many. I at this point, from the stuff we gathered from the woods and the stuff we ordered and the stuff I picked up, I mean, every single positive mushroom you could possibly have in that thing. Now, they're not always going to be fruiting bodies in this stuff, but I want as much of it as I possibly can. Like the King Strophoria I just added the other day. I mean, that thing is basically the mouth of the forest, and it's... You know, we got, I don't know if there's anything else I could possibly put in this thing. But like you said, once you get yourself off to a really good pile, keep your moisture up. That's, it's going to require from you. It seems to me that a lot of people are looking for a laissez-faire approach. And you hear this a lot in a lot of the farming world where they just want to be able to just do something quick and then walk away. Like I've been very critical about a lot of the people in the MAGA movement and also the freedom or the preparedness movement, where they think just because you got storable food, they're prepared.
Yeah. I was thinking
and people
about,
think also that their compost, let me just finish this thought, that they think also with their compost, well, I just need to be able to put it together, walk away. No, it requires your involvement.
Adding all those that spent, you know, fungi bags and stuff like that, adding all that to your compost made me think, wouldn't it be cool if you could like inoculate a mulch with an edible mushroom or something like that, or edible mushroom varieties, and then they just pop up whenever the
conditions
are right?
That's exactly what a lot of them do, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that's exactly what a lot of them do. In fact, this guy that I got it from, that's precisely what he does with a lot of his spent stuff. In fact, he said if he can't get anybody to buy it, he'll go out there and basically do his version of a Jeff Lawton instant garden. And he's building, and he told me he is building somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 inches of soil in a year.
Wow.
By using this method, which is pretty incredible, because under Jeff Lawton's thing, you know, you're lucky to get a half inch or an inch.
Which is still amazing.
Which is, incredible. I mean,
it's still amazing.
I mean, that's incredibly impressive. I mean, that's precise, you know, if that guy's telling me that, if he knows. Because talking to him, he knows very little about compost.
Also, a lot more work as well involved with the adding. Guessing he's just adding it straight, like doing a sheet mulch method with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to take a lot if he's continuing to do it like over and over again. Whereas the Jeff Lawton Instant Garden is just like one and done. And you can do it again if you want to, but.
And you can stick it right on top of the same one.
Yeah.
I mean, in just 1 year, the areas that we did the Instant Garden are extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely changed. It went from a completely bacterial system to one that's probably equally balanced.
Yeah.
I mean, it did some pretty incredible stuff. All right, so, man, lately I've been doing a little bit of electric work on the side, and what I've realized in the process is that I love doing electric work. I just hate working for other people.
Yeah.
So, you know, the volunteer work I do and stuff of that nature, I really love the work, but I tell you what, I've been spending more time in Asheville than I typically do. And so I've been observing more than I do. And man, I got to be honest. I am getting to the point where I don't even know what planet I'm on, folks. I'm not trying to go sideways here. I mean, this is, I guess, part of the farm news because it's just an observation. But I'm telling you, 50% of the people I see walking around don't know what sex they are.
Yeah, I mean, you go to, like, especially in Asheville, I kind of came to the same realization the other day when I was there. Like, it's just kind of fallen off, like, the map. I mean, there's homeless people everywhere. Like, the people everywhere are on drugs. If they're not a tourist, they're like a homeless person that's on drugs just wandering the streets. It's crazy. And that's gotten progressively worse since we've moved here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 4 years, man. I mean, it's just, now there's still some bomb places to eat. Found out about this really awesome place to get a burger, which I'll probably hit when 75 hard's all over with. But, yeah, there's still some of the really awesome things around here, but my goodness, man, it's like everybody seems to be highly invested in trying to be deep.
Yeah.
And it's like, you'll never find a hipster that knows that he or she is a hipster. You'll never find, I mean, in all of them, I'm like, okay, man, in your effort of trying to be deep, you're just like everybody else. And I'm seeing, I walked into this health food store. I'm about to go to the bathroom. I got to go grab something or another. I've been eating on the 75 hard, you know, obviously. I mean, the diet I'm doing is very, very low carb. Yeah. So I've been eating this 95% cacao chocolate. And my taste buds, because I've been so long without sweets, believe it or not, that chocolate is actually sweet to me.
I don't care what anybody says. That has never tasted good to me.
I was
95%
like,
stuff.
It's 95%. And believe it or not, I ate the whole doggone bar and it only had like 2 carbs in it. So I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, and it tasted sweet to me. So if I ever taste something sweet again, I'm like, man, it's going to be off the chart. But as I'm going into the bathroom, I'm going in there to go to, after a couple of things, and I'm walking in there, and there's this man, grown man, walking out of the woman's restroom.
He's got a kilt
on and a beard, but he's wearing a dress. And I'm like, okay. And then that's kind of what sparked my observation. As I'm walking around this health food store, and I'm looking around me, and I'm like, I don't see a single. And then I'm watching this guy. It is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I go over there, get me a cup of coffee. And he's with his wife, and it reminded me when your mom and I first got here, we're at this restaurant, and this woman's telling this guy, oh, eat this. Now, eat this. No, no, no. Take that off your fork. Eat this. And I'm like, am I seeing this? I just witnessed it again today.
It hurts your soul.
I witnessed it again today, son.
Need some Hickory Ridge soap.
Man, I'm telling you, dude, he better scrub up in the nether regions. You better find them, nephew. She's sitting here telling this guy, and he's eating one leaf of lettuce at a time. This is twice now I've seen this. And then I'm looking around me, and it's like I'm on the aisle of Dr. Moreau.
It makes you want to step in for the guy.
Man, like it just
hurts.
And this guy is every bit of in his late 60s, maybe 70s. And I'm like, I'm looking around me, and I'm like, I don't see one normal person around me.
Yeah. Okay. So the people who came to the Farm Where You Live event at the Ag Center this past spring, the people who were out of town and went to Asheville, what were your guys' observations?
Yeah.
What were your guys' observations?
Pastor Lon told me a couple of stories when he went to Walmart and he was wearing Make Men Again shirt.
Yeah.
And yeah, boy, that I got some looks. And then that latest one I got, I can't remember which. I ended up going to Lowe's.
Untuckable?
Yeah. No, it was the other one. No, it was that one from Jason.
Oh, Compost Pedophiles?
Yeah, Compost Pedophiles. And I go through there. Half the time I'm not even thinking about what I wear. There's things I just don't put any brain power in. I just snatch up a shirt, put it on.
And I like that one.
Yeah, I don't even care about, you know, what's on it. I'm just going about what I do.
Hey, that one is a human filter. If you are offended or if you are repelled by that, Good. I'm glad I know now.
There was a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
A lot of people in there that were, and I'm noticing that also that, and I've noticed this for a while. I'm like, I don't know how to say this. Ben Holler turned me on to this new podcast I started listening to. And it's more like, it's kind of like Tony's thing, but it's
what
different.
What is it? Do you want to shout it out?
Yeah, but it's in my pocket. I can't think of the name right now, but let's just say it's a new podcast, and I should know what it is. But basically, it's a Christian-based paranormal type thing, you know? And there was something that one of the guests said on there about he tried to shake the hands. He's one of those former Hollywood people, and he's talking about how all these celebrities are into adrenochrome and all this real filthy, nasty, diabolical kind of stuff. And how when he was around them, that they felt repulsed when he became a Christian. Mm. And I had been feeling that for quite a while, that people seem to, and I'm like when I went in today, I'm sitting here, I'm going through the psalm, reciting it in my head, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in here with the best attitude possible. And it was almost like a force field around me where I feel that people around me just feel repulsed as I'm in Asheville.
Yeah.
And it's been happening for a while now. When I heard that guest say it, I'm like, ding, 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 ding. Okay, maybe that's what's going on. So I listened to that this morning when I was out doing my work, and I felt exactly that same way as I was going through that health food store. It was like people, they're kind of like, they're like afraid to get too close to you. And it's been happening for a while. And as you know, I'm a person that I'm really, look, if I have a superpower, I'm extremely good at noticing patterns. Always have been. And if I have a superpower, maybe that's it. And that's one thing I've been noticing for a long time, but I suspected that maybe that was it. But until I heard this guy say it in that podcast, I just didn't feel, I wasn't 100% sure as to what it might have been.
That's part of the reason I love that shirt, is because it's just a human filter. It immediately tells you who you need to be like weary of or just aware of. Or just like if you're on the fence about somebody and you want to find out what they're about, wear that shirt around them.
Well, you got just a point.
Yeah.
You got a point.
This is an instant way. It's like an instant litmus test. Yeah. You can, like, it's almost like mind reading.
Yeah. Yeah. You can. Name of that podcast is Blurry Creatures. And it was a guy. A guy.
They've been on Tony's podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know about him. But anyway, it was that one program. I listened to it today. And like Ben said, he says, dude, you listen to this thing, you're probably going to get hooked. And so I've been going through. And that was one of the ones I listened to. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, now this explains the pattern. I'm like, okay, well, maybe they're repulsed by the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I don't know that you can know for sure, but I know that these people, when I'm walking down the aisle, they clear it.
They had an event not too long ago, I think, or they have an event coming up.
Yeah, they had one. Now they're in Peru or something like that with Tim Albarino. I wish I'd have known. I'd probably tagged along with them.
That's pretty cool. Are they out of Tennessee?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to check out more of it. But yeah, you know, so that was a good conversation with Ben. In fact, I'm going to try to work out some kind of, I don't know. I better just keep that to myself right now. So I'm still in the throes of 75 hard, and I'm doing well. Did another fasting this weekend. Only did it for 2 days this time. The end of this week, I'm going to team up with my man, my homeboy, over at Strand Farm, James. He and I are going to do another 3-day fast, and we're going to do it this Thursday. And he's been down this road much deeper than I have, so he's going to kind of be my coach. But I will say this last time fasting, I corrected the mistakes. I got the minerals in me. I've been doing a lot of study on it. I got the minerals in me, and I felt really good when I broke my fast. So unlike the last time where I didn't take anything but water and then still going through doing my workouts and everything else, well, I realized the error of my ways.
You should film it and like document the stages that you guys go through, and then document like the coaching that James gives you. So that way, like, people who haven't done it before can kind of know what to expect along the way.
Yeah, yeah, I'll have to think about doing that. But
Coming from, like, a strictly homesteading perspective, because, I mean, just because you're fasting doesn't mean we can't move the animals.
Well, that's
you know
the
what
point.
I mean?
Exactly. So I got to be able to fast and still be able to do what it is. But I've learned some stuff also from these doctors. Things that I know that I have got to, because this last time out, okay, I took magnesium. I took, you know, all the stuff I'm supposed to. And I felt like $1 million. At the end of that fast, you know, I was out there sweating like a runaway slave doing that weed eating up that whole side after those sheep. And I was like, okay, I don't feel at all wiped out. I do feel like I need to drink some water. But, yeah, so 75 hard is kicking. I weigh less than you now. I'm like down to 175.
I was 178 yesterday.
Yeah, so I'm down to 175, and that was from 200 when I started. And so I gotta figure out this, you know, figuring out how to put the muscle on there. All right, y'all. So Heritage Life Skills coming up very soon. It's going to be July 21st through the 23rd. And don't forget, Kentucky Sustainable Living, October 28th and 29th. Be there, be square. They're going to be doing a charitable dinner for Vets for Child Rescue. You want to be there for that. All right, with that said, y'all.
Well, hold on. Before we get into Pastor Lon, Dad's excited about this weight loss, and he was in the kitchen flexing shirtless, apparently, for Mom and Kendra the other day. Like, look at my abs.
That's right. I got abs, and I got obliques. That's right. I got abs and obliques. I still got this little bit of fat I need to get rid of down at the bottom, but I got abs again.
And Mom tells me about it, and then he continues to flex for me.
That's right. That's right. Because I haven't seen my abs in a long time. You know, I've been a little bit smooth, but here lately, you know, I'm really, really wanting to do, you know, it was good that I failed 75 hard the first time, because now, like they said, in Full Metal Jacket, I've been born again hard, because that week of not doing it gave me time to reflect. And in that reflection, there was a lot of things that went on in my brain, like, okay, man, am I really giving this thing 110%? And then I realized, you know, I wasn't. So this time out, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it all. And even now, I added in another course. I'm in this accelerated, I signed up for another course. It was $200 to get into this accelerated learning course. Hmm. And already in 3 days into it, my reading speed went from 280 words a minute to almost 500 a minute in just 3 days.
That's cool.
So as I progress through this thing, I'll let everybody know how it goes. Now, I was doing the trifocus reading method before, and somehow you weren't supposed to lose it, but somewhere along the way, unless I have zero distractions around me, it doesn't work. I mean, like everybody else where you read, but now using this other guy's methods, and I'll let you know as it goes on, folks. But like I said, 273 words, and then almost nearly 500 in 3 days. And the average person, I guess, reads about 200 to 225 to 250 a minute.
Yeah.
And I guess I was above average, but I thought I read pretty slow. As long as I'm reading with the trifocus reading method, I was reading pretty fast. And now with this new guy's method, I'm realizing there's a systematic approach to this. But what I'm saying is that through this 75 hard, I'm very busy. People send me text messages and what? Guess what? I ain't getting them to them by and large until near when I go to bed.
Yeah.
I got too many goals and too many things I'm trying to accomplish during this 75 hard, where I'm knocking out these books left and right. I'm getting my fitness on point. I'm realizing the brilliance of fasting, and what the thing I've been missing, like James over at Strand Farm is telling me, you know, I'm awake on so many other things. And then, you know, on this thing, I've been completely missing the boat. So you're awake, you come out of Plato's cave regarding certain things, and then you're still in that freaking cave regarding some pretty critical things. And for me, one of the biggest ones was health. With that said, we're going to go straight into the homesteading pastor, Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got one verse of scripture for us today. It's in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jesus speaking here of the scribes and the Pharisees, which came to him complaining about his disciples breaking the man-made tradition of not washing their hands when they ate bread. But he turned the table on them and asked them, why do ye transgress the commandment of God by your traditions about children honoring their parents? Their heart was not in the right place. So I ask us today, is your heart in the right place? I got four questions. Are you close to God? If not, we should be. How's your prayer life? It should be a top priority in your life. How's your Bible reading time? It should be a desire of every believer to read or listen to God's word. Number four, are you bearing fruit? Because the Bible says you can tell a tree by the fruit that it's bearing. So to break it all down, we need to have heart service rather than lip service. Because there are a lot of people that are living outwardly, they're living a fairly good life. But on the inside, they're living a lie.
Bam.
Wow.
Knocks it out of the park every single time, folks. Check out Homesteading Pastor on YouTube. You're going to be glad you did.
Link down below in the description.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that I could add anything to that, but, when he listed those four things, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, check, check, check. But I got to say, I would always want to there's not one of those where you feel like you're already arrived. You know, you always feel like there's more you could do.
Right. Should you ever feel like you pray enough?
No. I mean, I literally get on my knees that's one of the things I make sure I do. I get on my knees to show reverence to the Almighty.
Yeah.
But it's that fruit bearing part where I'm feeling like there's certain fruit I bear. But in terms of witnessing, there's a lot more fruit I need to bear. So, that's the beauty of having Pastor Lon on board here. There's not one thing he says in any of these things that I'm not thinking, okay, well, how do I correct this? Or there's not one part of it where it isn't edifying. So, folks, go check him out. All right. Yeah. Bad news, good news section. All right, check this one out. Bad news. I tried to get an upscale bad news thing this time.
An upscale
one. Yeah. Although, a good bad news thing, if that makes any sense. Although millions have feelings of impending doom and dread, we need not fear when we praise God with reverence and awe while understanding the urgency and lateness of the hour. There's a whole lot of people out there. If you go and read this article, this one came from Steve Quayle. When you go out there and read this article, man, record numbers of people are just right on edge, man. They're thinking, okay, are we going to have war with Russia? Is this thing, you got Medvedev the other day saying, okay, keep going, and we're going to turn it into a parking lot. Keep playing games. I mean, but people by and large, and then they're looking at the financial system, they're looking at all these other things, and they're thinking, okay, man, what? Is this shoe, if it's going to drop, just let it drop.
I was kind of thinking about this earlier today. What if this is another just Cold War situation, which is much easier? You know what I mean? Not saying that's easier for us, but it's easier for them because they can always keep the threat. What did that last, like 20-something years?
Yeah, but you're right on the money, son. Because
never have to blow anything up.
Well, there was a man with a whole lot of sense that once wrote, you can rob and kill a man only once, but you can steal from him again and again. And that's exactly what you can do in something like a modern Cold War.
Yeah.
Is that instead of just having a war where you're just going to bleed each other out and then the military-industrial complex makes a ton of money, which they always do, in a Cold War, you make way more money with the threat of there being a war.
And here's another thing, something that they didn't necessarily have as easily during the Cold War. They can fake all the footage now. They don't even have to do anything legit anymore. They could say there's a war in Tulsa, Oklahoma on, and nobody outside of Tulsa would really know because they could just shut down communications in Tulsa, film, fake all the footage, and then send it. Look at ChatGPT. We can do it ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at all these, like that Pulse nightclub shooting and a number of others where you're looking at footage. You're like, hang on a minute. This makes no sense. How is this? I mean, so many of those different things, whether it's the Vegas shooting, whatever the footage, there's always something in every modern thing that like jumps out at you. Like what?
That being said, you should still get an EMP because lightning's still real.
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah. So, okay. Good news. The polyphenols in wild blueberries can help lower blood pressure and boost brain function. Well, it just happens to be blueberry season right now, depending on where you are. And it's probably my favorite berry.
I wonder if that's exclusive to just wild blueberries or if it's wild blueberries grown in non-depleted soil.
Yeah, or blueberries. Well, they could be talking about Farkle berries and things like that where – yeah, there's some wild ones out there, but also I got to believe there's a reason they're superfoods.
Yeah.
So
we should have some ready, actually.
Yeah, there's so much in there, man. All right, another good news. Make sure your vitamin D levels are optimized, otherwise you could suffer a heart attack. That one's from Natural News. Now, okay, have you ever noticed that everything that we know for sure is good for you? This is another thing, James over at Strand Farm. Go check them out on YouTube also. Here's what he was telling me also. Think about it. You were told, put all this sunblock on. Stay out of the sun. Don't get any sun. It's bad for you. Well, we now know that's garbage.
Yep.
Don't eat eggs. They're awful for you. Don't eat too much fat. Keep your fat low. Lower your cholesterol, even though your brain's made out of it. Don't eat salt. Yeah, even though your body needs it. Everything we are officially told, that's why, I consider this a good news thing. Yeah, go out and get some sun. But remember, it wasn't that long ago where they were telling you, sun's bad for you, eat margarine instead of butter.
Yeah.
All these things that they have told us, everything. The food pyramid is inverted, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And look at Mark Sisson's work where he talks about in the Primal Blueprint in his book, how that food pyramid is derived is based on who gave the most money to Congress.
Speaking of the food pyramid and all that, on this carnivore diet, I've been introducing different things and just seeing how I react to them. And I'm realizing that I react to a whole lot. Like popcorn the other day, which was like organic, non-GMO popcorn, I reacted to that. Sourdough bread, I reacted to that. Red pepper flakes on beef jerky, I reacted to that.
Well, you will under that. When you're doing strictly carnivore.
Not just digestive, though. Reactions.
Yeah, I tried something a little bit out of, because I'm doing a primal diet where it's just basically meat, vegetables, and fat. And, basically I'm staying pretty close to ketosis.
That's keto, Dad. That ain't primal.
Yeah, well, the primal diet is my official diet, but I'm more keto. I'm staying within that keto range for the most part.
Yeah.
Maybe a day or two I kick it up a little bit more, but it's mostly keto. And I did notice I got these bumps on my arm when I ate something. That was a little bit weird.
Can you see those allergy bumps anymore?
No.
They went away. I had those allergy bumps on the back of my arm. Yeah, they went away.
Yeah, so I'm noticing that too, that maybe there's things I ought not to be touching. Look, y'all, I know I'm not turning into some Nazi that's going to tell you what you can or can't eat. I know one thing. What I'm realizing is that through fasting, a lot of this garbage is taken care of, and I'm going to learn more about it. That's another thing. Don't eat three meals a day.
Yeah.
As far as, eat six meals a day. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And you find out that came from Kellogg's, that whole saying, everything we're told, where we're constantly told to keep eating, feed throughout the day. You need six meals a day for a bodybuilder. We're finding out every bit of that is a lie. So, consider that, y'all. Consider all this stuff. In fact, don't believe anything until it's officially denied. All right, this segment brought to you by EMP Shield. $50 off with promo code PERMA. I don't even think I need to make a case for it, but hey, look at the world around you. I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Yep.
We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, if you don't know what those words are or where they came from, you need to wrap yourself in the head with a freaking tack hammer. So that's the Declaration of Independence. When you ask 9 out of 10 people, at least people that do know, because 9 times out of 10, the valedictorians of most collegiate places have no idea the preamble to the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, any of that stuff. But if you were to ask them, why did we revolt? Most people my age are older. And a knee-jerk reaction, many of them, is going to be no taxation without representation. Well, I challenge you, go read that Declaration of Independence. And when I spoke about this on YouTube one time, somebody said, no, it was really, read the Federalist Papers. It was taxation. No, it wasn't. If you look at it, of among all these, it's basically the Declaration of Independence is a list of grievances against the King of England, okay? And number 17 on that list is no taxation without representation. Now, a lot of people were floored about that when I first came out with that video on YouTube, and a number of others tried to challenge me on it. Let me ask you something. Son, in the course of your life, if you ever made a list of the things you didn't like about something, the most important thing, would you ever put it in the middle of that document?
No. I would either put it at the very last as like a declaration or at the very beginning.
Right, because you want an exclamation point put right. on it.
Yeah.
So I encourage everybody, actually go back. There's a couple of things I'm going to ask you to do. Like in the beginning, memorize the Bill of Rights or at least have a good idea what they are. I talked about that in the tip. Take this one day. Read the Declaration of Independence. Read the grievances the colonists had at that time with the King of England. And then overlay that with what's going on today. See if it's still applicable. See if we've regressed. See if we've gone back in time. All those things that they had a problem with, see if you can relate to them today. Just, I mean, it's a very short document. It's not that long.
Keep track of the ones you don't relate to.
And then, right after that, I want you to look at the Bill of Rights. I really want you to look at that Bill of Rights. And when you ask somebody 9 times out of 10, well, what's your First Amendment? They're going to say freedom of speech. Well, they fail to recognize that the First Amendment alone consists of a number of things. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, the right to assemble peaceably, and the right to petition the government. There's 5 things under that First Amendment. Now, ask yourself, how many of those things are being infringed upon this day? Second Amendment, right to bear arms. Need I say more?
Yeah.
I mean, I should be able to have, and it was meant, if you do read, somebody was saying, read the Federalist Papers. Well, read it again. Find out what they really meant by that Second Amendment. Look, if the government is allowed to have a howitzer, then I should be allowed to have one too.
It's in like preparation for a tyrannical government because they knew it was probably going to happen again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it ain't for a deer hunting.
Well, like Jefferson said, the tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of saints and patriots or tyrants and patriots. But the point being is that in all of this, you go through that Bill of Rights. We'll just briefly spend a little bit of time on it, folks. And I want you to think about these were the things, this was limitations on government. That's what the whole Constitution is about. Third Amendment. It prohibited the quartering of troops in peacetime and limited it in the time of war. Now, of all the things that are being infringed upon right now, I was like, okay, that's the only one that I don't think is necessarily happening, but is it?
Yeah, I would say it is.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. What if they're foreign troops and they're coming across the southern border and we're kind of housing them?
Well, the difference was is that at that time, and this is one of the things in the top of the Declaration of Independence, is like basically these soldiers can basically come over, take over my farm, my house, my whatever,
yeah.
And I got to look after them. That's basically what time it is. And I got to thinking about that. You know what? That is the one thing that I'm sure somebody out there could provide an example of how it's happening. But of all the infringements that are happening on the Bill of Rights, that's the one that I can't necessarily,
I guess it's different whenever it's like the total, like, stealing of the land. Cause I was going to think of like, you know, I can't think of anything.
Yeah, so we'll go on to number 4. I'm sure some clever person out there will probably email me and let me know.
We'll probably think of something right after the show.
Right, right. So number 4, Fourth Amendment, you know, illegal search and seizure. Need I say more? Okay.
The reason we moved here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in New York City, stop and frisk. You know, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I find so-called patriots out there saying that's completely okay. No, it ain't. That's illegal search and seizure. So the Fifth Amendment, everybody knows about number five, right? And son, I think speaking about that number five, you tried to use that back in Texas and you were put in jail.
Yeah. Okay. So this is like, this prohibits, like, they can't force you to provide evidence against yourself. That's basically what it like boils down to.
Yeah, but you were basically told either sign it, and your mom was pleading with you, either sign this document that incriminates you or we're going to put you in county jail.
Right.
Which is exactly the reason why we rolled out of Texas. A lot of folks I know are moving there, and you think that it's some bastion of freedom, but remember, it is a for-profit prison place, and I was working in an electrical shop with 135 guys. 100 of them were in between court dates. So there's a whole lot, and the cops will plant. I mean, where we lived in Texas, they would shake you down for the change in your pocket.
Hey, y'all, and remember, signing that ticket is providing evidence against yourself. I don't care what the state law, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not giving you advice, but I'm just stating, like, the Bill of Rights supersedes any laws made, right?
Right.
Okay, then. Signing that ticket provides evidence against yourself. It proves that you were there.
Or, yeah, and, well, it asked, did you concur? Okay, well, so we won't go into too much, or otherwise we'll never get into this. So, number six, right to a fair trial. Ask that guy that was running the Proud Boys. Ask all those January 6th people.
Still waiting on a trial.
Yeah, still waiting on a trial, a speedy trial, and a fair trial. One of them, you know, I mean, what they're doing to these people is unbelievable. Rights in the civil cases, number seven. Bail's firement and unusual punishment. Yep, that's all happening. Okay, anything basically Ninth Amendment, you know, given to the people. And then the 10th Amendment, it should be delegated to the states if it's not directly, you know, delegated to the feds. So there is not one in there except for number three. And like you said, probably after this program, I'm almost certainly going to find some example of this. But folks, this is how far we've fallen from the tree of liberty. This is how far we are. We don't need a new constitutional convention. We need to follow the one we have. And very few people seem to want to take a second look at it. Read that Declaration of Independence. It's a very short document. Just, if nothing else, read the grievances and see if you see any overlay today. Read the Bill of Rights and see how many of them are openly violated and nobody cares.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exactly how far we've fallen. Folks, here we are. Like I said.
You want to pick it back up now, Dad? pick the mood back up now?
Well, no.
You got some good news?
Well, no, this is exactly, I got to be real. I mean, some people complain and say, well, why aren't you doing shows exclusively about permaculture? Well, we cover a lot of that in the beginning. We also cover a lot of that also in the Q&A.
Well,
but I am an American first. I am, you know, I am a North Carolinian first. That's really what I am. And I understand a lot of folks are becoming state nationals right now and they're not paying taxes. I totally get it. And I'm examining this sort of thing myself.
But it's like what Andy Frazella said, like, why are we covering this? Because we need a functioning society to grow food for.
Right. I need a planet.
Yeah.
I need a planet. I need a planet that I could use. I need a way to be able to sell my wares. And so does everybody else. But if we don't have freedom, we wind up with the situation that happened in Soviet Russia, where there wasn't a whole lot of, there was no incentive, and also in China, where there's no incentive to make a better crop than you ordinarily could because you're a serf.
Yeah.
And we are on this road to serfdom right now because many of us have forgotten. It floors me that we're out here blowing up fireworks, doing all this other stuff. We're celebrating being the freest country in the world when we are not, the founding fathers would not even recognize. If you were to have any of them right now walk into America the way it is right now, I'm not sure they would even recognize it. I think they would say, wow, we bled for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
We bled for this.
Did you not read what we wrote down?
Yeah.
did you not see the power like we put aside for everybody?
I mean, we bled for this. I'm sitting here like, you know, when you think of Patrick Henry, you think of all these other people that in many ways, in fact, all of them to some extent or another, basically gave up their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to give us what we currently have. And now it just seems like everything's going down. No matter how dreadful the news, nobody seems to care.
Well, yeah. I just thought of a way where we can reach the masses with this message. Okay, that MLK, whenever he like went into a coma and then woke up, you dress up in whiteface as George Washington and you woke up out of your coma and then address America.
Well, son, you got to give context. He's basically talking about an episode.
On the show.
Well, he's, for the people that don't know, he's talking about an episode of the Boondocks,
yeah,
where, you know, they were playing around with it. Like Martin Luther King didn't actually get killed. He was in a coma, woke up, and he's like, what? I took all those butt whippings for this? Yeah, son, if I was to go out there and do a, yeah.
do it dressed as George Washington. Do it in whiteface just to get everybody's attention.
Well, it would do that. It would do that, but I don't think I could find a wig, you know, this far in advance. And I don't think I can find any wooden teeth or anything like that. But, folks, we better wake up and smell the corruption, or we're going to fall asleep drinking a hemlock. Look, I know this doesn't sound like a rah-rah USA kind of speech right now, but I don't know how anybody could be right now. We're hearing, instead of, you know, playing Old Glory, man, I'm listening to a requiem, and nobody seems to care. People are out there doing the barbecues, but, I mean, can you break out the Bill of Rights and read it? Can you break out the Declaration of Independence and say, huh, okay, Declaration of Independence. You know, it's a short document. Let's take a look and read it. And if you do, you will be floored. Some things might be a little bit hard to translate in today, but you're going to see overlap with what's going on right now. When we get back, y'all, we're going to go straight into your Q&A.
Left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No way, no, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my koozie.
Oh, yeah, I want to give a hat tip to Van Tesla, especially my man Joel over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kill the Mockingbirds podcast, and also they do, you know, do a lot of good work over there. Also, this segment of the show brought to you by Harvest Right Freeze Dryers. We've been running this thing pretty much night and day.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for it, y'all.
Tell them about what you did with the stew meat the other day. Like how it completely tenderized it.
Yeah. I basically used some tough cuts, and that was weird because I kind of basically took a couple of pieces of, let's say, rump roast. And when you're going to preserve this stuff, the leaner the cuts, the better. When it comes to things like stew meat or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't want to necessarily use anything that's real fatty because it's going to help it go rancid, even though it's freeze-dried. So anyway, take that stuff. And, of course, rump roast is typically tough as shoe leather. When that thing came out of there, your mom said it was yeah, quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I got a comment on the Fountain app from Versinji Torix, I think. Good day, pimps. I would love either a history segment or a bonus pimp cast. What do you pimps think of the Gracchus brothers? Have you heard of them? Gracchus
no.
brothers, maybe? G-R-A-C-C-H-U-S brothers. Were they power-hungry polecats, true altruistic reformers, or a blend of both? They remind me of the Kennedy brothers. How many chickens would you recommend for 750 square feet in a suburban backyard? How many pedophiles will it take to feed 40 meat birds in a CTOS? All jokes aside, I thank you for this last pimp cast. You're all doing wonders by helping to fund VFCR.
Veterans for Child Rescue.
Right.
Yeah. Well, as far as the backyard, you're going to have to play with that a little bit.
750 square feet.
It depends on your management technique. It's really going to.
Yeah, I would depend it based more on like how many mouths are you feeding.
Yeah, you might actually, in a situation like that, you might want to do a deep bedding method. There's not a whole lot of room.
No, I would definitely keep it stationary and do a deep bedding method and do like an urban chicken tractor on steroids. If you Google urban chicken tractor on steroids, Jeff Lawton's video should pop up, and also Eric Siders, who's linked down below for online consultations.
Yeah, so I got one from Deborah on the Fountain app, not the Fountain app, but the Patreon. So I wanted to, instead of answering it directly, I thought it might be a help to a number of others out there. Just watch a YouTube video on permaculture, the three guidelines. You had me on the Don't Target My Kid t-shirt. Anyway, to my question, you triggered a thought in mind. How do I get a lifetime commercial farmer to embrace the homesteading lifestyle? Basically, in a nutshell, they live in the San Joaquin Valley, and her husband is basically hooked on the traditional model.
Yeah.
And she's trying to, you know, get him to do some of the other stuff.
I bet it's because of the equipment.
Yeah, it could be. That's one of the biggest things to change out there. When a person is hooked into this particular model, it is nearly, at least from my experience, unless it's an animal operation, but when it's more of a commodity situation or something like that, when these people are committed, especially when grandma, grandpa, everybody else did it, it's nearly impossible to get them to change up their ways. In fact, we got family that are farmers on your mom's side, and no matter how much evidence they see regarding better management methods, they don't go with it. I mean,
better evidence, like right next door by their own children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you can literally show a lot of these people, I'm not running down your husband or anything. I'm just telling you from experience, a lot of these people, whether it's foolish pride or whether it's just plain laziness or it's the unwillingness, you know, they're so exhausted. The whole notion of changing out what they currently do is a very rough proposition for a lot of folks out there.
And it's even harder if they're under a lot of debt.
And a lot of stress. Exactly. Where I've seen other rare examples of people that were in a very debt-ridden model, changed up their management practices, and turned everything around on a dime.
Yeah.
But getting somebody to see that has been a commodity farmer, doing it the big ag way for the longest time is some of the hardest people to get to see the other way around.
And with ranching, I mean, we're learning methods right now that might make that transition even easier for like ranchers and stuff.
Well, it's never been easier to make that transition.
Yeah.
There's never been, because there's more information out there, and it's not like this stuff is experimental anymore.
No, not at all.
Before, somebody could have made that argument, well, that's experimental. It's no longer the case.
Mm-mm.
But getting people out of that pattern, you take a Nebraska corn farmer and try to get them to redo what they're currently doing, even though by changing up some of these models, you're not going to be wiping out the Ogallala aquifer anymore, or at least not to the extent that you have been. Some of these wells are going dry, and a lot of people are, I mean, this is starting to be a big deal, but going back to the central point there, very few people that get mixed up in these models seldom change.
Yeah. Got one from Kentucky Sustainable Living on the YouTube channel, Permaculture Pimpcast. It's linked down below. This was in response to episode 106. He said, we're all going to have to buy wood chippers for this problem.
Boy, yeah. You got that right. Yeah, I just talked to Jason on the phone today. He was having a little bit of trouble. And somebody else asked about it, too, as far as buckwheat and cowpea and where to find it. Honestly, a lot of your co-ops should have it, especially this time of year. I mean, they should have it, but I'm hearing that a lot of them don't. Mm. Man, I mean, you can find it pretty easy around here for the most part.
Yeah.
But right now, yeah, it's, I mean, you got a little bit of, if all you're going to do is use it as a cover crop, you got about a month. You can still put it in. It's not going to get mature necessarily, but you're not using it for that anyway.
I'm going to do another one. I got one from Jeremy Hula. Billy Bonds, please read. Oh, you talked about the strange men showing up at the people's houses, farms, asking the kids about chickens. They're doing recon. When the crap jumps off, they're looking for a place to take over, maybe even the women and children because they're property. Get this word out. They can use Google Maps, surround the place, and take it over. We need to be on point. Getting ready for war for real. We need to have a plan. We could even run drills if you could get people to surround your property and use those laser-type guns with the vest.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a movie coming out tomorrow. And actually, you can see it today.
Is it Mel Gibson's? Is that the one you're talking about?
That Jim Caviezel's in it. And it's about Tim Ballard and rescuing these kids.
Mm.
I can't remember the last time I've been in a movie house, but I'm going to see that thing probably maybe tomorrow. I don't know. I definitely want to check it out, but it's regarding a lot of this child trafficking, y'all. This is the problem that nobody wants to talk about. They are murdering these kids for their, I hate the fact that I even got to talk about this, but what I find more disgusting are the people that are writing me saying, look, you need to quit talking about this because blah, blah, blah. I got a garden. Really? Well, don't tune in.
You know what the most irritating part about it is that, like, okay, how many of these documentaries need to come out? Like, right. How much more evidence do you need? You get some fool abusing a tiger, and it's the most popular thing on Netflix ever. One documentary, and it's out there. And then he gets a sequel. But all these documentaries have to come out, and they get no play, they get no headway, nobody even watches them, nobody shares them, anything like that.
Right, kill a baby, save a whale, and then people are going to break my chops over the fact that, like, hey, man, just stick to what you know. Is that right? Well, why don't you tell that to all these other Hollywood actors out there who mentally I can do backflips around. But, you know, when these people get out there and they tell you to go support trans rights or whatever, nobody ever comes down on them. Or they want to break my chops about, oh, well, you know, maybe you ought to give away bone saws for free. You know, you're making money on this. Well, you know, I don't hear anybody standing or picketing out in front of Walmart or Target for any of these places. What kills me is that they will break the chops of the small business owner, but you got nothing to say regarding Walmart and Target and all these other places that are funding some of the most diabolical things on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah, or keep buying crap from the same people over and over again.
Right,
Watch it break and then do it again.
Right. You know, so, I mean...
Whose turn is it, Dan?
Yeah, it's me. Hey, Billy, I'm trying to start my first compost tea, and I was wondering if dried up comfrey would be used in place of kelp meal. No, I don't believe that's going to work out, bro. You want that kelp in there, I mean, in large part to feed your... is going to feed your fungus. And I'm not sure the comfrey's going to do that.
I don't know. We'll have to find out. That's a good idea. I mean, that's a good question to ask. Yeah, as far as the information, I don't know.
From the top of my head, I doubt it. But, I mean,
I wonder
we don't know.
If it's complex enough for it to be fungal
food after.
Well,
it's a good question to ask.
Yeah.
It's a good question to ask, but I doubt it. But, yeah, do that question. Let me know what you find out.
Right. Got one from Bear Borg 9986. In California, it is now against the law for businesses to stop anyone from stealing things from their business.
Yep.
It used to be anything under $900. Now it's for anything. You could be walking out with $10,000 and you can't stop them. The business called the cops, and if the person is left, they won't even show up.
The guy told me when I went in there, I had to get some wire, and of course, all of it's under lock and key.
Yeah.
I go in there and I ask him, I said, you know, it took me forever today to go find anybody. I'm like, hey, man, this is getting ridiculous, man. I got to go find one of y'all, and you're shorthanded already to begin with.
Yeah.
He says, this is exactly what he told me. And this is two different places. It was Lowe's on each side of town. I just happened to be in different spots when I needed to go by.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them said essentially the same thing. He says, man, we had a person fill up an entire cart full of copper wire.
Wow.
Roll out of this store. We called the cops. We even tried to bar their way, but if we physically touch them, we'll be fired or dealt with. And we literally had to watch them throw this in the back of their vehicle. We called the cops, and they never showed up, ever.
I don't.
And then check this out. Over at Sportsman's Warehouse, lady tells me, I'm bringing back a pair of mud boots. Of course, didn't work the first day.
Yeah.
They were defective. Bring them back, and then they're giving me the what for in here. And then finally, you know, I'm trying to catch a few more flies with honey. She goes on to tell me that a woman filled up an entire cart full of ammo, pushes it out to the car, and she was supposed to get fired, didn't pay for any. I mean, she said it was all she could do just to push this thing across the parking lot. Walked out of the front of the store. They weren't allowed to. They called the Asheville Police Department. Nobody ever showed up.
At least they okay, I'll give her props on one thing. It was a sensible thing she stole. At least it ain't like a pair of Nikes or something, like boxes of shoes. That kind of makes sense. Not condoning it, but I understand.
Yeah, well, at least that had a little more applicability.
Right.
You're stealing copper, then you're going to strip it and then take it to the scrap yard.
And probably buy drugs with it.
Yeah, well,
this lady at least.
But they're making it very clear.
She might be thinking like, oh, there's a nuke about to launch right now. I got to go prepare.
The thing is that it's happening not just in California. It's happening in every blue city. Well, name a city that isn't blue at these, I mean, this day and age, where they are literally doing this on purpose, y'all. The powers that shouldn't be are putting people in power that are not at all going out. I know that I'm speaking to the choir here, but by and large, it is now legal to commit crimes. People are literally in Whole Foods. Yeah. The lady told me as I was in there, I hate going into Whole Foods in the first place.
It's kind of funny
that they were literally filling up entire baskets, walking right out, and not one person is trying to do anything to stop it.
Like, you tell me you can't stop that frail vegan walking out with that basket of pita chips.
No, they're worried about getting fired themselves. It's like, yeah, this is how lawlessness.
That's what I was going to say. Okay, if you work at Lowe's and you're trying to stop somebody from stealing $10,000 worth of copper, and Lowe's will fire you for touching that person, take it. I'm not even going to get in the way.
Yeah, but that's exactly why everybody is running out of San Francisco. Every business is running out of there right now. You're not going to stay there if you can't make a profit. Every blue city, and they're doing this by design. You don't have to be Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce to sit here and think, gee, I wonder what's happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
And you literally have to walk over bums to get into some of these restaurants downtown.
And you know how many people would defend those stores if the owners just gave, like, the permission? Like, yes, go ahead. Like, go ahead and stop them. If you feel brave enough to stop them, go ahead and stop them. Like, but instead they're met with, no, you're going to get fired.
Well, we were down in New Orleans, me and your mom, not too long ago, last time we visited Deep South. Man, they were sitting there spraying them bums right off the sidewalk. I'm dead serious, man. They were out there sleeping on the sidewalk, man. They come out there with the hose, and they're, like, cleaning off the rubbish, and it just happens to be a bum in the way. Yes, they are bums. I'm not calling them homeless. There's a difference between a bum and a homeless person. Yeah. Anyway, Matthew says, hey, Billy, I got my own theory on RFK Jr. I want to share with you. I'm not sure I can get to all this, but I'll try to encapsulate it. Now I believe that anybody running for president who's getting the attention is a crook at some point. So my theory is Republicans have been given, I'm going to say it in a nutshell because he's kind of saying what I was thinking. That basically it's once again that we're given a free, what appears to be a freedom quotient on each side of the corrupt paradigm. I mean, I know that I'm maybe, you know, running away with how you intended to hear, Matthew, but I got to condense it. And I suspected that before. Then maybe they have somebody that looks like a freedom quotient on the right side, then one on the left who appears to be Bobby Kennedy. I would love to believe this guy's real. I'm not so sure. He might be. I want to find out where, but I doubt it. I just don't. I guess I'm so cynical at this point that I think that every single person running is controlled to some extent or another, and I think he makes the same case.
Well, and let's not ignore that every Kennedy's has some shady stuff going on, like in the background. Like, they ain't completely innocent.
Well, to his credit, he admitted early on, and he's been pretty candid about his addiction problems. And, I mean, hopefully he wasn't, you know, with Epstein drinking a adrenochrome or anything.
Right.
But, to what extent are these people compromised?
I don't know.
But, you know, apparently he got out in front of it.
Got one from the Stubbs 97. Multiple streams of income. Possibly it is not for everyone. Build a company and sell it to someone else later. You are still the owner, but they become CEO. They get some voting power, but you get 50% voting power and make the big money. Then you retire on your farm, making extra with a few broilers sold here and some bone sauce sold there.
You could do that. You know, there's a lot of, look, if I was out to make money, I know how to make money. Okay, I know how to do it. That's not my purpose, honestly. I want to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
We're obligated to create a free town. That's what I think it is.
I think we're obligated to fear God and keep his commandments, the Lord is commanding me to do. And you know, so I don't always get it right. And a lot of times I don't. And as I said before, if I don't get in the word every day and get on my knees, then it's automatically going to be a bad day. But that's why I've ingrained this as part of my daily habits, is to make sure I do that thing. But regarding, you know, I never understood retirement. I never got it. And I doubt I ever will. I don't think we were ever meant to retire. I think we just make transitions into other things. And that's exactly what I want to do. As long as my health holds out, you know, this is exactly where I feel like I can do the best of both worlds. I can show people these really awesome techniques from this magnificent design science that really just emulates what the good Lord put out here for us all. And at the same time, as a byproduct, if we can rescue kids, stop this tragedy that's going on that nobody seems to care about, like William was saying a moment ago, let there be a single video out there of a guy abusing a puppy, and the whole world comes out to a standstill. But we got kids being raped as infants, and nobody seems to care.
Yeah.
Like I said, Crucible of Hard Times has a way of healing depravity. All right, so over here, this is another long one. I can't really get to it, all of it. First of all, I'd like to say happy birthday to the Declaration of Independence and actual Pride Month. And then I'll jump down to the question. Where would I be able to find a true version of the Bible? I grew up a Christian. I was an atheist for the majority of my life. But as I grew older, now in my 30s, I realized that, okay, in a nutshell, basically he's having the same existential crisis that Bobby Spaggs had over at Spaggs Unfiltered. And it's basically the stuff going on in this world right now that basically said, okay, there is no way there is not a God. With this much evil going on, level of depravity, there is no way that there isn't a God. Well, I'm going to direct you. I'm going to ask you to reach out to the homesteading pastor. I got my own opinion on that. But we do have a lot of resources out here that I use the King James Version. I'm sure I know there's a number of others out there. Some people like the Geneva Bible. Some like a number of others. And I know there's areas with the King James that may be issues as well. When you get down to brass tacks, yeah, there's some of those versions out there you want to stay away from. But honestly,
do you know any of the ones to stay away from?
Yeah, man. If I wasn't asked, I would know immediately.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard things about New American Standard. That's why you want to get a number of them out there. You even want to get an interlinear Bible. The thing that drives me crazy is when somebody says, well, it was actually translated this. Well, why wasn't that in there then? If it was translated, well, this word really means this. I'm like, well, okay, well, why wasn't it translated that way? Yeah, that's something I'm going to have to examine a little bit more. But right now, I go through the King James primarily, and I do have a couple of other versions. And, but that's what I typically do. Plus I love, okay, going back to that brain power, how many people live today that can hear Elizabethan English and understand what's meant? Very few. That's part of my training too. When I hear this, first of all, it's beautiful poetry to me. Second of all, it's like the same ability to write. You had to teach yourself to write in cursive, remember?
Me?
Yeah. Remember when you started writing?
No. We learned in school, and then I just went so long without doing it that I had to relearn how to do it.
Well, it's the same thing with Elizabethan English. Yeah. You know, you're hearing basically another language. You could say it to most people.
I think I was like the last year to be taught cursive, though.
Right. Yeah. But by and large, these skills are completely neglected and I dare say forgotten. So if nothing else, I like the King James Version, not only for what it's communicating, but also the poetry in it. You know, I know that's not a direct, like I said, I'd tell you to reach out to Pastor Lon on that one. Right. Homesteading Pastor. So what else you got there, son?
That's it for me.
Well, we got one from Jeffrey here. He's showing me his pork belly. He did all of it, you know, flipping each day for 9 days, and then he's washed and rinsed, got it sitting in the refrigerator for 24 hours. Then he's over there smoking it for at 200, 225. Man, it looks pretty doggone good.
We just got done smoking some meat today, actually, some beef ribs, some short ribs, and brisket.
Yeah, everything didn't go out as planned, but that's another story altogether. So we got one here, I-95 Bridge in Philly, so we got one from Travis. I heard you mention a bridge that got taken down in Philly a few times and how it had been a demolition. Well, I didn't know that for sure, but that was, you know, my speculation. Some more fuel for that fire. I have a friend that lives in Philly. They said that bridge is back open in about 2 weeks after something like $80 million in federal funding came in. The repair work had signs everywhere for the construction company. She just sent me pictures of driving by it. Now, how on earth do you put together a bridge that damaged in 2 weeks?
I would avoid that bridge, y'all.
Well, you know what? I'm starting to wonder. I'm going back to
they want some more funding.
Well, I'm going back to wondering, like you said before, how much of that was, I mean, was it really down? Was it CGI? Was it something that, you know, because I'm telling you right now, you ain't fixing that bridge in no 2 weeks.
Does the concrete even cure that quick?
No, you didn't put the steel up. You didn't do any of that in 2 weeks.
Y'all are over there leaving tire tracks in the cement.
Yeah. So something stinks. I don't even know. Man, if I had a nickel for all these things, y'all, they're able, like, I mean, get ready for the alien invasion at any time.
Yep.
You know, Operation Blue Beam, whatever they call it. We're going to have to do a fun episode like that. But look, with this CGI, all these things that are going on right now that they fake, all this stuff in Ukraine where it's battlefields and all that stuff, wag the dog garbage. Look, I'm getting to the point where if I don't see it with my own two eyes, I'm not sure I believe it at all. You know, the soundstage with Biden and all this stuff. I mean, where his ear disappears. All these other things, y'all, that I don't even know what I can believe. And it was a CIA guy, I think it was William Colby, one of those guys around that time, one of his contemporaries, said, "We will know our mission is complete when everything the American public believes is false." I think we're there, son.
We're there.
I think we're there, y'all. So I'll check it. Tell you what, till next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive.